Hello, celebrity gossip enthusiasts. I'm Travis Proto, and you're listening to Us Weekly's Hot Hollywood Podcast. Today, I'm joined by two totally fetch females. Her hair is so big, it's full of secrets. Gwen Flamberg.
Oh, that's me. Hey, guys.
And I heard she can tell you if it's currently raining. Sarah Huron.
Wow, I didn't know it was Mean Girls Day, but I'll take it anytime. I do have the same last name as Katie Caddy. Spelled differently, but in the same family.
Yes, you do. What's Mean Girls? I'm just kidding. Today on the podcast, we have two sisters-in-law trying to make it work, some reality stars hard up for cash, a new couple, intergenerational celebrity beef, and much, much more. But before we get into all of that, let's start with the woes of the week. That is what made our guests just clutch their proverbial pearls and just go, whoa, a la Joey Lawrence in the 90s. Sarah Huron, why don't you tell us what made you go, whoa, this week?
Well, I mean, Wednesday of this week was pretty much just one jaw drop after another, to say the least. It was, we were all Elle Woods, we were all lawyers yesterday. There was so much legal news to unpack. And I think, you know, the Bill Cosby news was pretty shocking and devastating and upsetting. He was released from jail yesterday after serving around 2 years of his 10-year sentence. There was something going on with the evidence and how things, the trial went. I don't even freaking know, but all I know is
a technicality. After 58 women came forward to say that he drugged and raped them.
It's horrible.
Where is the justice in this world? Where?
We're missing the justice for that, for all of Bill Cosby's survivors. And at the nexium of it all, Allison Mack got 3 years in jail for her role as the main recruiter for Keith Raniere. And I personally just don't think that's enough either.
Not nearly enough. She branded these women.
Yes, she was, you know, she did apologize, but a little too late for me, homegirl. Like you recruited, she ruined so many people's lives. And thinking about the fact that she might serve more time than Bill Cosby, I guess, is also upsetting, even though I think they both deserve a lot more time than they're going to do. It's just the whole thing is upsetting. And I think we need to really look inward a little bit here and try to figure out what the hell is going on, because it's not right.
No. And like so many slights to women, like the Britney Spears news, Bill Cosby, you know, Allison Mack recruiting and branding and helping with the rape of women. It just seems like they're pushed to the side this week legally by the courts on paper. Gross, gross, gross. Horrible legal stuff. Gwen, all of those I'm sure made you go whoa and scream angrily as I did. But what made you go whoa this week?
A little bit lighter. Have you guys seen Lizzo with her little blonde pixie and bleached brows? She looked good as hell, of course. But the hilarious thing that made me go whoa was that a lot of her fans thought she looked like one Kris Jenner. And I found that totally hilarious. But, you know, she had like this dramatic dot makeup that a makeup artist had done for her. And she just looked amazing. It was like a totally new Lizzo. But anything that Lizzo does or wears, she's got that confidence. And there is nothing hotter than that. So made me go, whoa, but also, wow, I love you, Lizzo. And if you guys haven't seen the pictures, you know what to do. Go to usmagazine.com/stylish for all the celebrity beauty and style news of the week.
Perfect.
Lovely. Lizzo really can do no wrong. Keep clapping those cheeks on TikTok. I love every second of it. My woe this week was Meghan McCain leaving The View. Sources were saying that ABC begged her to stay on, and she was like, no, I'm out of here. They are mean to me. I am leaving. You know, that's, you know, paraphrasing what the sources said. But that's how I like, that's how I like it to imagine. And it went down. But I don't know why it shocked me so much. She's sort of beaten on by the other women. She doesn't really sort of fit into the group as much, even though, you know, she serves her part as the more conservative host. But I just never thought she handled everything really well. And she took things really, really personally, even when they weren't about her at all. But I was still sort of shocked that she was leaving. Did you guys share this? Or were you like, oh no, this totally makes sense. She's going to dip.
I don't watch The View regularly, but I do watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen every night. And Meghan McCain is on it pretty frequently, actually. She's a huge Housewives fan. And I think Andy likes to have different kinds of voices. And they, like, during the election, they would talk pretty candidly about things. And it was interesting to watch. And in the past, Meghan was always very clear and wanted everyone to know, like, no, we get along offset. Like, we fight about politics, but like, Joy's my friend, who was my friend. She was always said that repeatedly, wanted to make that known. But post maternity leave, something changed. And I think she got a little bit more sensitive, or maybe just like the disconnect of being gone and coronavirus, not in the studio, and then coming back. I think she had a very rough transition back into the show. There was that whole moment where Joy or Whoopi said they didn't miss her. And I think she took that very personally. So I'm not surprised, just because the difference between Megan a couple years ago and Megan now, it has been different. So it's interesting though, because I think she gets a lot of headlines for the show, good or bad. So I think it makes sense they'd want her to stay, because she's, you know, polarizing.
Yeah, she's really the headline queen that comes out of there. I haven't seen a headline about anyone else in like 2 years.
I couldn't even name the other two co-hosts besides Joy and Whoopi. Who's still on that panel?
That's a Sarah? Very good question. Like,
it's a very good question, Sarah.
Well, we'll answer that next week, because none of us know. So goodbye to Megan McKay. Yeah, so experts. Not really our wheelhouse, even though it is. All right, well, let's dive in to the news of the week. I mean, talk about a whoa moment. Miss Britney Spears. Every single person, I'm sure, in your life is texting you about it. You have seen the free Britney Instagram posts and stories. I have done it. And, you know, now that she's finally spoken up publicly, everyone wants to know what her next steps are. Luckily, we have that information to you. So according to court documents attained by us, oh, thank you. Yes, we got them. Judge Brenda Penny signed an order naming Jamie, her father, and Bessemer Trust to serve as co-conservators, which was already decided months ago during the hearing. However, was most likely not signed until they allow the party to do their objections. Now, what this means is a judge ruled to keep Jamie and Bessemer Trust on as Britney's conservators, even after she, you know, begged and pleaded with the court to take her dad off the payroll. So this was a huge affront to Britney. She just jetted off to Maui with her boyfriend. She's living her best Hawaiian life. And then the day after she left, the judge still kept Jamie in power. And I don't understand how anyone could do this. She told the judge in the hearing she wanted to sue her family, and that, quote, making anyone work against their will and taking all their possessions away, like credit card, cash, phone, passport, and placing them in the home where they work with the people who live with them. She, of course, said she can't get a baby. She is required to get an IUD, so she can't have children. It's just a mess. And the judge apparently did not hear her because they upheld her current conservators, and it's so messed up.
Well, important to note that Britney and her court-appointed attorney have not officially filed to terminate the conservatorship, which is what Britney was saying she wanted to do in that heartbreaking 20-minute monologue, I'm going to call it. I mean, every time the judge told her to slow down because they were trying to make sure they got it all transcribed, it was just so upsetting, because she was like, felt like she was like racing the clock. She had so much to say, so much built up, you know, facts and sadness. And it was just devastating to listen to. But basically this all was from stuff that happened months ago, but it is interesting to note, of course, that the judge, you know, signed it now. But we're still waiting for Britney to officially, we're hearing any day now, it needs to get through the courts, that she will file now to end the conservatorship. What's so upsetting is that all of this happens on Britney's dime. She has to pay for this court appointed lawyer who she doesn't even, you know, feel represents her, because she couldn't even pick her own freaking lawyer. And her dad, they're still getting all her money. It's such BS. It's not even funny, but we can't give up hope yet, because she hasn't filed the paperwork to terminate yet. So there's still hope after the devastating court appearance last week.
The thing that really butters my bun is just the bigger implication, because if Britney was male and not female, there would just be no talk of a conservatorship whatsoever.
I agree.
But because she's a woman, she has to deal with all of this. And it really, the misogyny of yesterday, this was something that really compounded it for me. And I just will stick with what I said on last week's podcast, which is free Britney.
Free Britney.
And we talked to some legal expert that when she does file the petition to have the conservatorship lifted and banned, it could still take years in the courts. And we talked to a legal expert, because we are not, even though we get more and more closer to that every day.
I'm trying, man.
You're doing pretty well with the legalese. But this legal expert said it could be till 2022 until the judge makes a ruling to end this conservatorship. That's just how the courts work. She would have to file the petition. It would have to be, you know, signed off on. They would have to get their court date. Then they would have to have arguments. And then it could be years before she even can pretend to get her life back.
What's also interesting to note is Jody Montgomery is who's like her in charge of her person, not her finances and stuff, but her person, her like caregiver, care manager, they call her, is blaming Jamie Spears like Britney did. But Jamie Spears is blaming Jody, trying to say that after he had to step back in 2019 for his health issues, that Jody got much more of the day to day and she should be mad at Jody for, you know, the medication or the rehab stays that she did not consent to, or, you know, even like she said she was going to AA and then they wouldn't let her talk to the people she met. Like the whole thing was just so backwards and made no sense. But now they're blaming each other. But again, blaming each other on Britney's dime. This is just such BS.
BS and not Britney Spears.
No,
and
not the good kind.
Not the good kind. And a lot of celebrities have, I mean, almost like every single celebrity, especially every single female celebrity, has come out supporting Britney Spears. And I think one of note was Christina Aguilera's tribute to Britney on Twitter. She said, quote, these past few days, I've been thinking about Britney and everything she is going through. It is unacceptable that any woman or human wanting to be in control of their own destiny might not be allowed to live as they wish. To be silenced, ignored, bullied, or denied support by those close to you is the most depleting, devastating, and demeaning thing imaginable. She continued to say, the harmful mental and emotional damage this can take on a human spirit is nothing to be taken lightly. Every woman must have the right to their own body, her own reproductive system, her own privacy, her own space, her own healing, and her own happiness. She went on, but I think that really sums it all up. And it was lovely to see her former Mickey Mouse Club and VMA co-presenter Christina Aguilera come to her defense. But were you guys shocked that like every single celebrity was talking about Free Britney? I mean, it was so lovely to see everyone support her because she's not really known for having that many Hollywood friends.
I think True. She just represents so much for all of us in like exactly. childhood and nostalgia.
Absolutely. She sure does. Well, let's move on to a happier story. Meghan Markle and Kate Middleton be going to make up? Yes, it's happening. We have heard from sources that Kate is reaching out to Meghan a lot more. She's sending notes. She's sending gifts. But we also heard from a source that this is all because the firm, i.e. the Palace, Kensington Palace, has sort of asked them to ask the royal staffers and people on their payroll to reach out to Harry and Meghan so they will stop bashing them. So, I mean, good that she's reaching out, even though maybe the intention is a little wrong, but happy that these two are in contact. They're both mothers and they have to, you know, their babies are cousins. So I love to hear that any moving forward is happening with them.
I completely agree. I love seeing these two as friends, and I hope that their friendship grows even deeper.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I necessarily think it's going to mend all fences here by, you know, sending a baby gift. Good for Kate. I think that this is a pivotal time since Lily Diana Lilibet is so young. They've been in California for such a long time. And this is going to be, I feel like with the more time there are apart, the deeper the wedge I think is ever going to get. So this is going to be the time when, you know, if they can start traveling to both see each other and make an effort. And if they do, I think they can totally recover from this. If they don't, I think it'll just get deeper. But I mean, seeing the photos of, to pivot to William and Harry today at the Princess Diana statue unveiling, I mean, it was to see them like smiling, looking at this statue, like made me want to cry. And it was nice to see them come together. I mean, one thing they always are going to have in common, no matter what, is that they are brothers and they love their mother and they lost their mother at such a young age. And no one is ever going to understand that at the magnitude that they will with, you know, being princesses, prince and princesses and all that. So I think that, you know, there's a chance. I mean, we also, but then when I saw them talk at the funeral, I thought it looked friendly. And then we hear months later from the family friends, the second they're behind closed doors, they're at each other's throats. So time will still tell on what really went down today is what I'm learning with these people. But it was so nice to see them out there with Diana's family and looking at this statue with such like pride in their mom.
And the laughs, like the yes. laughs and the smiles, it seemed really authentic. I don't know what they were saying. I would love to know what they were saying, but I'm just really happy to see them together and seemingly great vibes.
Yeah. Great vibes. And just for some background, it's at the Sunken Garden, this beautiful statue of Diana and two children at Kensington Palace.
It's actually three children. There's one behind the other one. I had to look deep.
Who knew? Nice. Yes.
Interesting. Got a little 3D moment.
Yes, 3D.
And today would have been her 60th birthday. We are not putting her in celebrity birthday boxing. I can't even believe
that. But I can't even believe that Diana would have just been 60 today.
Yeah, totally.
It's astounding to me.
It really sinks in how recently this tragedy happened. And the statue was commissioned by William and Harry in 2017 to memorialize their mother to mark the 20th anniversary of her death. Prince Harry and William wanted the statue to recognize her positive impact in the UK and around the world and help future generations understand the significance of her place in history. The unveiling took place today at a small family event and was attended by the princess's siblings, the Earl of Spencer, the Lady Sarah McCrocodile, and the Lady Jane Fellowes. Yes.
In addition, straight out of London, Travis Cronin, everybody.
Yeah, Travis Cronin, great with names. Travis Cronin,
great with names. Professional linguist. It's on my LinkedIn. And the statue, the commission, you know, Harry and William, and everyone who was on this commission said the statue aims to reflect the warmth, elegance, and energy of Diana, in addition to her work and the impact she had on so many people. The figure of her is surrounded by three children who represent universality and generational impact of the princess's work. The portrait and the style of her dress was based on the final period of her life as she gained confidence in her role as an ambassador for humanitarian causes and aims to convey her character and compassion. The statue is engraved with the princess's name and the date of the unveiling. The front of the statue is a paving stone engraved with the exact after the poem called The Measure of a Man, which was featured in the program for the 2007 memorial service for her. I won't read the poem. You can go and visit it in the Sunken Garden. It's a bronze statue. It was done by Ian Rank Broadley, and it is 1.25x life size, so just a little bit earlier. And we already got quotes from William and Harry about it. They said, today on what would have been our mother's 60th birthday, we remember her love, strength, and character, qualities that made her a force for good around the world, changing countless lives for the better. They said, every day we wish she was still here with us, and our hope is that the statue will be seen as a forever symbol of her life and legacy. And I mean, what great news. Diana's impact was so beautiful to HIV, to children's causes. I mean, she is just such an angel, and the statue's lovely.
And I cannot believe what really drives home that her 60th birthday would be today is how young she was taken from the world. It is, It really drives that home. I kind of glossed over that, but she was, you know, barely 40, and it's
36,
wild.
I think.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible.
And the Sunken Garden was chosen because it was one of Princess Diana's favorite locations at the palace. She used to walk there like all the time, almost daily, they said.
Spent 1,000 hours in labor to fix it up for her with all her favorite flowers.
Amazing.
So 1,000 hours, 4,000 individual flowers had been planted there. And just a rundown, 200 roses, 100 forget-me-nots, 300 tulips, 500 lavender plants, 100 dahlias, 50 sweet peas, and 400 meters of fine shortcut turf.
There will be a quiz at the end of this.
There will be a quiz. How many dahlias? Yes, it's 100.
100.
100 dahlias. Sounds lovely. Can't wait to see it in person. Well, let's move on to something way more scummy and sort of tragic. The Bachelor people getting these COVID loans. Sarah Huron, tell us about this mess. And it's not only the Bachelor people. There's a lot of people who are involved in this. And I'm sure we're going to be hearing a lot more. I personally know a few people who took out some of those PPP loans they shouldn't have. But tell us about the unveiling of all these Bachelor people and their businesses.
Yes, I mean, wouldn't be a week without a Bachelor Nation scandal. And you can find out everything on Us Weekly's Here for the Right Reasons podcast, hosted by yours truly. But yes, Tayshia Adams, Colton Underwood, Ariane Lauren, and Dale Moss were the names that were pulled out from Bachelor Nation this week for getting paid protection program loans. These were loans that the government created for small businesses during coronavirus to pay their employees and keep their businesses alive. So Tayshia, for example, got $20,000 to through a Small Business Administrator back loan. And her rep said, as a business owner, television and podcast host and brand ambassador, Tayshia obtained a PPP loan that enabled her to hire an employee, someone who was previously unemployed, to whom she offers market-based pay and benefits. Since exhausting the PPP loan funds, but in light of the growing economy, Tayshia was committed to has committed to retaining her employee for the foreseeable future. Colton, meanwhile, got $11,000 for his nonprofit for cystic fibrosis. Seems to be a little bit more legit since it was for his charity. His rep has maintained that he did not get any of the money himself. Ari and Lauren have an LLC titled Instagram Husband. This is the Ari and Lauren who did recently just buy a second home in Hawaii and welcome twins. They got a $20,000 loan for Instagram Husband, aka just being an influencer. And Dale Moss was also granted a $20,000 loan, but according to the documents, was actually not given the funds yet. But overall, I mean, people are saying this is kind of a joke, right? Like, these people can make $20,000 on a flat tummy tea ad, on any sort of ad. These loans were created for people to not hire people, also, by the way, to maintain existing employees. So the Tayshia thing gets a little confusing there. And she was also a lead in the last year, so I assume her funds, you know, aren't super depleted. We don't know everything going on. This is not illegal. This is legal action taken by these people. You know, people are just calling it out for maybe being a little shady, a little sketchy, and not necessarily what the government was planning when they created this program. It wasn't for Bachelor Nation or influencers to maintain their influence, to put it
that
lightly.
That Ari and Lauren one really just rubs me the wrong way.
They're the only ones who haven't said anything about it. Like, it's classic.
Oh God, Gwen, do you want to see them all locked up and jailed?
It's technically legal. They didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah, listen, jail, gross. I think jail is a strong word, but you know, it never really ceases to amaze me, the antics of these Bachelor people. Bachelor Nation is powerful, you guys.
Yes, it is.
Instagram Husband LLC.
Oh, Instagram Husband LLC, horrible. And how do you need 20,000 or whatever it was to do posts that people are paying you for?
It's very confusing. And I mean, Nick Vile, former Bachelor, made a funny TikTok about it. And the end of his, you know, he was explaining why he thought about it. And he was, because people were saying, we don't have a right to judge what other people are going through financially. And it's like, this is public information for a reason. And also, they can make money off of really dumb things very easily. And they all know that. If you have over 1 million Instagram followers, I don't think you need a loan from the government. I'm sorry. I just don't.
I agree. Well, let's go to some intergenerational celebrity beef. Courtney Love calling out Olivia Rodrigo, and not for stealing her driver's license or boyfriend.
Imagine boyfriend. That would be something.
Oh my God. Let's hope for next week. I mean, Olivia Rodrigo is reportedly dating that new guy.
Yeah, 21-year-old producer or something. Go girl.
Sexy.
She's 18 now. All bets are off.
Nice. She found her Sabrina Carpenter. All right. So Courtney Love called out the now legal star, congratulations, Olivia. And she captioned her post, spot the difference, hashtag twinning, she wrote on the caption of her Instagram. And then Olivia Rodrigo responded in the comments writing, love you and live through this so much, which seemed lovely. And we thought it was over, but no. Courtney Love took to Facebook and was a little bit more blunt in her comments. She wrote, it was rude of her and her record label Geffen not to ask me or the live through this album cover photographer Ellen Von Wirth, which is what this is all for. But she says, don't worry, this happened my whole career, so I don't care, but manners is manners. She also said that she awaits flowers and a note from Olivia. And she finished by saying, I sure hope it's long. I think she's talking about the note. And she says, does Disney teach kids reading and writing? God knows. Let's see. This is all because Olivia did a promo photo for her Sour Prom concert film. And the photo shows Olivia posing as a prom queen with mascara running down her face. And it was reminiscent of Courtney Love's band's whole 1994 Live Through This album cover. I mean, being in a prom dress with mascara running down your face doesn't seem like it was owned by Courtney Love.
Did she sue Lauren Conrad too when like the Laguna Beach prom aired? As an Olivia Rodrigo stan, maybe I'm blinded, but I, one, didn't even think the images looked that similar. And two, since when does Courtney Love own prom?
True. I mean, the image is so like Olivia's brand.
Yeah.
I totally think it's okay. Courtney Love is a little bit wacky, but I will say that once I saw Courtney Love perform at the Hammerstein Ballroom in New York City, and she came up from the stage wearing angel wings and she looked amazing. So like, I think Courtney Love is an icon. I just think that, you know, not everything is about you, but it's hard for rock stars who are narcissists to wrap their head around that.
So. And isn't like music, like always, you know, taken from each other.
It's
a cycle. I don't know. I feel like she didn't need to go this hard, but whatever.
Yeah. And after Olivia was like, oh my God, I love you. And like live for this. And she was like, this bitch, like how does that like anger her even more to this like 18-year-old? It was very, very strange.
A random one.
Let's talk about, I have no segue for random in this. It's just sad. Khloe Kardashian and Tristan. Sarah, before I spill the tea on her next baby and what she's going to do about it, why don't you give us a little update on what is going on with Khloe and Stormfront?
Well, as we know, Khloe and Tristan broke up last month. There's a lot more, you know, allegations flying around about Tristan and his extracurricular activities. But that did not stop him.
Three girls, one room.
Exactly. That did not stop him from, you know, wishing her happy birthday with a touching tribute that said, thank you for not just being an amazing partner, mommy, best friend, but also the kindest, caring, most loving human being I've ever met. Your love and spirit is courageous to all who have met you. Oh, contagious, which obviously Tristan hasn't caught it. Contagious to all who have met you. Thank you for always being there for me and putting our family first. I love you so much. Have an amazing day. So, you know, Tristan going hard with the birthday note, we're not going to forget Tristan, third trimester Thompson, what you did. And a source then told us that Khloe does still love Tristan. They're not going to get back anytime soon, but she's not ruling it out because they spend pretty much 24/7 together. And now that she broke up with him, they're not around each other as much anymore. And she's just trying to adjust and transition into being friendly co-parents and separate her emotions from them. So, you know, the insider noted that Tristan's alleged infidelity played a factor into them not being able to make it work. Quote, they were doing well up until those girls came out saying they hooked up with Tristan. She struggles because Tristan is the father of True and she wants to be on good terms with him, but is having trouble because she sees him as a cheater and thinks it'll continue to happen if she takes him back. I mean, has Khloe finally seen?
She's not wrong.
Yeah.
She's not wrong.
I don't know, you guys. I worry that he's going to wiggle his way in again, but I really hope she stays strong.
Gwen, do you have any words for Khloe about Tristan and hopefully to not take him back?
Stay strong and don't put anything else in your lips. That's what I have to say to Khloe. I mean, listen, she makes beautiful babies. They make beautiful babies together. I can understand why maybe she wants a full sibling for her baby. But, you know, I don't even believe that they're together or were together in any like real way. And I want the old Khloe back. I want the Khloe who like has an amazing personality and has tons of confidence and is true to herself. I want that Khloe back. And I don't think that Tristan brings that out in her. So I'm kind of hoping that she runs.
See, I do believe they were together. And I think she just let her guard down with him and let him all the way in after watching that season of Kardashians. And in between that, like August to January, they finally like were on good terms and she went to Boston with him. And then right when she let her guard down, he's at Tana Mojo's birthday party.
Oh, bad place to be for anyone.
For anyone, let alone a 30 something year old man with a kid. Two kids.
I don't think he's 30. I think he's younger than that.
No, I think he's turned 30. No.
Oh, he reads younger to me.
I'll do a live check.
Interesting.
All right, do a live check. Well, while you do that, we had a Kardashian source tell us.
He turned 30 on March 13th. Thank you.
Oh, I'm so sorry for questioning you. Happy dirtiest 30 to Tristan. We had a source close to Khloe tell us that she has not made up her mind yet about what she wants to do about the next baby. She is still actively looking to have this child. She's been trying for a year and a half, the source says. And she does want to have it with Tristan, but isn't quite sure if she wants to get all entangled up in there. What do you guys think she's going to do? You know Chloe better than anyone, Sarah.
I mean, I believed before all this happened that she was going to go the surrogate route because she was having trouble getting pregnant and because she wasn't really letting him all the way in. And that was a way to do it with like a third party. So they didn't have to necessarily sleep right together. But then they got complicated and they did start sleeping together again. And I don't know. I could see Chloe maybe going like with an adoption route or something.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I think that would be great. It'd be very Chloe money.
She's got a lot of love to give.
True.
She does. And she's a sweet soul.
She's 37.
All right.
She's going to have to make this decision soon, but.
She's 37. All right. Well, do you guys know what it's time for? Sink or ship.
Ooh.
Yes. And we have two couples up for the sinking or the shipping. First one is Jason Sudeikis and Keely. Just gonna, you know, she's like Madonna, just Keely.
Keely.
Yeah, just Keely.
Keely Hazel, I believe.
No, just Keely. She likes to go by. So yes, Jason Sudeikis and Keely. Sarah, tell us a little bit about their relationship. And then I want to hear from all of us if we sink or ship this couple.
Okay. So Jason Sudeikis was actually linked to the infamous Keely a few months ago, right after Olivia Wilde, his ex-fiance and mother of his children, moved on with Harry Styles. At the time, we heard they were just friends. These two have actually known each other for a while. She was in Horrible Bosses. She was in Ted Lasso. They've worked together. Horrible Bosses too, I'm sorry. Not to be confused with the first cinematic masterpiece. So they've been friends for a long time, and they grew closer slowly while he was, you know, recovering from this heartbreak of Olivia meeting Harry Styles, which again, impossible for anyone to get over personally.
Of course.
I couldn't get over it. And now they are full on dating. They were cuddling up, packing on the PDA, and something in the relationship shifted. And there is a little bit of an age difference. He's 45. She's 34. She's a model, actress. Everyone, when he was accepting his Golden Globe a few months ago, noticed that she had posted selfies in the same place he seemingly accepted his Golden Globe. So slow and steady getting together. The only reason I say ship is because it seemed like a slow and steady friendship turned relationship. And I think that's a good move for when you're on the rebound, if you want it to potentially work.
Gwen, do you sink?
Sink, baby. I believe that this is a total rebound relationship. How could anybody get over their baby mama love going with Harry Styles? I think that he had to save face, hook up with somebody. And that's what I think this is. I think that Jason Sudeikis is a brilliant actor and human, and I think he can do better than a model, actress, whatever.
Oh my God. She's an actress.
Keely.
She's an actress slash model, the iconic Keely. I'm going to have to do a little bit of both. I ship it for the short while, and then I sink it in about a month. Because like Gwen said, I agree, when your significant other leaves you for Harry Styles, no matter who they are, you are sad, you are tragic. I really hope you find someone just to make you feel better about yourself. So ship it for that reason. But for the long term, I know very little about the infamous Keely, even though she is, you know, a dynasty all in herself. But, you know, something about it does not feel amazing to me.
Okay.
But there is another couple in the running for sinking and ship. We have Olivia Munn and John Mulaney. We have a little bit of an update on them. Source tells us that she has snuck into a few of his comedy shows and, you know, is still obsessed with him. He really likes her. They have a lot of the same like nerdy gamer interests moments, and the relationship is like progressing well and they're both really happy. Sarah, here on with the eye roll, would you like to kick us off?
Sink. Those freaking paparazzi photos at lunch could not have been more staged. And then she's spotted leaving his house. I can't with Olivia Munn. I don't trust her. And I don't like how quickly this happened from his marriage. Justice for John Mulaney's wife. No, sink. I can't support this. I'm a woman who supports other women, but doesn't support Olivia Munn. team John Mulaney's wife, who I don't even know.
Honestly, same. Gwen, what about you?
Guys, I ship this one.
Gwen, we're so going on the ring.
Listen, here's the thing. I do completely agree with you, Sarah, that this was just like a little too close for comfort with his wife, ex-wife, whatever. But I feel like, you know, other than the whole like hyaluronic acid from the Japanese sweet potatoes, I really like Olivia Munn. I think that she's smart. I think that she's clever. And I think that she's really smoking hot. And I think that John Mulaney is really smart and really funny. And I don't know. I just like I kind of see this. I mean, you know, a little bit. I kind of in that comedy guy way, I ship. I see these two as a couple that could at least have a good time for a little while. And I don't know. I'm like kind of into it.
Travis, tiebreaker.
I agree with Sarah. I do not trust this Olivia. Olivia Wilde, I trust. Olivia Munn, I do not. Those were definitely set up paparazzi photos. Yeah, I agree with that. I feel like she ruined Aaron Rodgers' relationship with his family when she was
allegedly
dating him. Allegedly. Well, I mean, allegedly, but like Jordan, his brother, sort of said it a few times and, you know, hinted at it a few times. So it's a little more than, it's a lot of allegeds. But I just don't trust her. And I want John Mulaney to run the other way.
So maybe he'll run to Keeley.
Maybe he will run to Keeley. All right, guys. And now it's time for Celebrity Birthday Boxing Mania. Yeah. That is where we take celebrities and we throw them into an imaginary boxing ring so no one gets hurt. And we pit them against each other, taken probably from the idea of MTV's Celebrity Deathmatch, which I loved back in the day. And the first bout is up to Sarah Huron. We have Hillary Burton, who you might know from One Tree Hill.
Ian Swayer herself, of course I do.
I don't know if you're familiar with her. Okay. She is 39 this week, and she is fighting against Ariana Grande, who is 28 this week.
Oh my God. These are two people who I actually genuinely love. I mean, Peyton is my least favorite character on One Tree Hill, and Ariana Grande was there for me during quarantine, you know, really kind of get my spirits up. So I'll give it to Ariana, even though the character of Peyton Sawyer would probably hate her, and that would be a good match, but I'll go Ari.
Oh, wow. I didn't see that coming.
Me neither.
All right.
I'm keeping you guys on your toes.
You are. All right. Goodbye, Hillary. Okay. Gwen, next one's to you. Missy Elliott, 50 this week. Congratulations to Missy Elliott. You look incredible. Against Debbie Harry, 76.
I mean, Travis, how could you pit these two against each other? Here's the thing. Missy Misdemeanor Elliott, who I would ordinarily give the prize to no matter what, because she'd be drinking tequila, she'd get in the ring, she would just like strangle whoever else was in there, lovingly, of course. But she would not do that to Debbie Harry, known as Blondie. And wait a second, how old is Debbie Harry?
76.
That's right. All right. So this is a full-on tie. Missy Misdemeanor Elliott and Blondie would be in the ring. They would spontaneously do an incredible duet that Missy Elliott would rap to The Tide Is High that Debbie Harry would be singing. And seriously, it would just, they would levitate themselves out of the ring. It is a full-on tie and they both win.
Wow.
Oh, wow. That was my favorite bout so far. And Tide Is High is just an iconic song. I also love the Atomic Kitten.
It's my karaoke jam.
I know.
FYI.
I know the version from the Lizzie McGuire movie by Atomic Kitten.
Yes. I also love that version too. Never give up. All right. The third match to you, Sarah Huron, we have Liv Tyler, who is 44 this week, versus Pamela Anderson, who is 54 this week.
Tough.
I mean, I've seen Jersey Girl. I know Liv Tyler. She's Steven Tyler's daughter. She's got rock and roll.
She was in Lord of the Rings as a beautiful elf queen.
You think I've seen Lord of the Rings, Travis?
Oh, she's really pretty.
She is a gorgeous elvish lady.
Oh, she looks great. You should just look up that. Yeah.
Who was she against? I literally just forgot.
Pamela Anderson.
Oh, duh.
56, 54.
Pamela Anderson, queen, icon, legend. She's got the red bathing suit on. Bring it back. She's going to beat Liv Tyler. Let's be honest. Pamela Anderson.
Oh, okay. Well, Gwen, it is Pamela Anderson, 54, Ariana Grande, 28, and the hottest new duo in music, Missy Elliott and Debbie Harry, all in the ring together.
So everybody would just bow down to 76-year-old Debbie Harry, and that would be that.
Beautiful. Debbie Harry, your heart of glass is saved in this boxing match. Congratulations to her. thank you to my co-hosts, Sarah and Gwen. Really, thank you. You guys are great for helping me spill this piping hot celebrity this week. Again, this is Travis Cronin on the Hot Hollywood Podcast or YouTube show, however you like to take it in, with your weekly peek into the glamour, glitter, fashion, fame of your favorite celebrities. After all, they're just like us.